Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today we'll be discussing two wonderful opportunities available to all of us who live here in the Columbia Pacific region. One is tomorrow night, Thursday, December 3rd, the Ales and Ideas lecture series from Clatsop Community College at the Fort George Showroom at 7 p.m. It's all about energy policies for the United States, and we'll be talking with Pat Keefe. He is a physics professor at Clatsop Community College, about that tomorrow night. And then in January, there's an opportunity to take a one-time-only Clatsop Community College special topics course using an interdisciplinary approach to explore the science, ethics, politics, socioeconomics, and psychology of global climate change. And here in the studio to talk about these two marvelous opportunities, I have Pat Keefe, physics professor at Clatsop Community College. Hi, Pat. I'm glad you're here today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure to be here.
Excellent. And I also have Nancy Cook. I've taken classes from her. She's one of my favorite professors at Clatsop Community College. Nancy is a professor of writing, literature, and humanities. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Donna. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have both of you here. Great minds, and you have very different approaches to things, which is why the two of you teaching this class in January is going to be so exciting. Before we talk, though, about the Ales and Ideas lecture tomorrow night, as well as the class which begins for the winter term on January 4th, please let's hear a little bit about each one of you. Patrick, why don't you start?
Well, I've been teaching at Clatsop Community College for the past 25 years. I came here from Portland and I'm a physics major and have been thinking about energy for a long time. This past week when I was teaching my physics class, we were talking about global warming, and it just hit me like, oh my gosh, I've been talking about global warming since 1983. As a student, I was learning about global warming, and the issue is really strong and isn't going away.
A lot of people, I think, are skeptical, and maybe now people aren't saying global warming as much as climate change. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that distinction.
I'm old school, so I can't make the switch.
Okay, so you're going to say global warming.
I keep telling myself, I'm supposed to say climate change, but it was global warming for so long that I can't correct myself.
Okay. I'm going to say climate change in honor of my poor mother-in-law in New Jersey, who's suffering the harshest winters of her life now that she's almost 80.
Okay, all right. So you're going to say global warming, and Nancy will say climate change.
No, okay. I'm going to say climate change.
All right. Nancy, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
I'm Nancy Cook, 12 years. I don't have quite the longevity of Pat, but 12 years teaching at Clatsop. Love my life here in the Lower Columbia. I coordinate the Ales and Ideas series, which is a great delight to take all the talent out up there at Clatsop into the community. That's a highlight. I love Jack and Chris's generosity in hosting those lecture series. So that's a fun extracurricular part of my job. And as far as climate change in this course goes, my undergraduate degree was from the Evergreen State College, and I don't know if anybody, even Pat, knows this about me, but I was a zoology major and an environmental science major before I went and got my degree in writing. So this interdisciplinary approach to teaching the humanities classes right up my alley. And team teaching is something I really love. All of our courses at the Evergreen State College were team taught. And a highlight of my last 5 years at Clatsop has been these humanities classes where I've frequently teamed up with Deke Guidi to teach. And just the dynamic nature of an interdisciplinary team taught class is always a lot to look forward to. So I'm really excited about the class, and I know Pat's going to do a great job tomorrow night. So,
and Pat, let's talk about tomorrow night. Now, these Ales and Ideas lecture series are free. They're open to the public. They happen every Thursday night at Fort George. And tomorrow, Thursday, December 3rd, the topic is, and you created this topic, the topic is, Can Anybody Count Here? Developing an Energy Policy for the United States with Pat Keefe. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, Nancy's been on my case for the last 3 years to give a talk, and it's been hard. I want to do something fun. I want to explode things and put on a real demo show. This energy policy has been a big issue, and it's something that I've been doing a lot of. I've developed a project on developing an energy policy that is used all across the country by high school teachers, college teachers, and it's really the big thing that I work on and so important to us.
Pat, if people say to you, well, you teach physics, well, what is physics and why is physics, why are you so interested and involved with energy policy and how does physics all fit in there? Can you kind of weave that together for us?
In there. Well, energy is a study of matter and energy. And so energy is right there. And I think how we use energy and how we use it efficiently is such a, you know, it's all of physics. It's unbelievable how many different ways we talk about energy. We have five different units all for energy. We talk about kilowatt hours, joules, BTUs, electron volts. Like, it's just energy is everywhere. And it's important how we use that energy is so interesting and how we use it more efficiently.
I have to chime in for just a minute. My father, Bob Cook, is a nuclear physicist, and his favorite thing in the world is cold fusion, man. He spends hours a day investigating cold fusion as the new energy, because if you live in the world of atomic particles, how can you not think about a better solution for providing
for
energy?
Fusion, yeah.
They understand it. Don't get him going on cold fusion.
What do you hope people will be inspired by or perhaps learn that they don't know when they come to your lecture tomorrow night?
Well, another good title for this would have been The Forgotten Fundamentals of the Energy Crisis. And so back in 1973, we were all given a rude awakening to our dependence upon foreign oil and how being limited can really disrupt the economy. So I hope people sort of are reminded about that and can piece together what we can do now to make it easier for us in the future. I think in my lifetime I'll be okay, but I want a good future for my kids, and I want them to have as rich of a life as I've had, and that's going to take some energy.
It seems that energy policy is fraught with a lot of mixed messages. There's some confusion. I don't know how can the general public stay up on learning about energy policy.
That is exactly my key thing with energy policy is it's so jumbled. There are all these different units, all these different ways of talking about energy, and there's no way to really get them related. So I've developed a spreadsheet that I have students use that puts all the calculations together that they need to make so they can see a clear path for a future that they desire.
After doing all this research and creating this, which sounds somewhat simple, although we know it's not simple, it's everything is complex, how do you feel about the direction we're moving in, and how do you think we could make any kind of difference if we're not involved in politics?
I think the only way is to get involved in politics and to be motivated. It doesn't do any good to individually reduce your energy use. It has to be a collective effort. And I think it's going to take some large-scale projects. Nancy mentioned fusion. That would be certainly a solution if we could get fusion, and it's not going to happen on its own. That's a major project that people have been working on for over 60 years.
On the positive spectrum, Gates just committed $7 billion and divested from Exxon, the Gates Foundation, in support of new energy, clean energy projects. So right now, surrounding all of the excitement and energy of Paris and this global climate summit, there's a renewed investment, even from the private sector, in clean energy.
Yeah, it is going to be a really big transition that we need to make. And the more we get involved now, the easier it will be.
And I think actually we do make a difference. We can make a difference every day in our lives. Certainly, I know I feel better when I recycle. I feel better about myself. I feel better about the way. And I think it's a small thing. So you're saying that we can do these small things and that it's valuable and important to do that. However, It's these, you have to get involved in politics and you have to look at the bigger picture if you're really talking about developing an energy policy for the United States.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to imply that. Yeah, you've got to, I mean, it's going to take a big effort and we're all going to need to work together on some adjustments.
And you're optimistic that can happen?
I'm very optimistic, yes. Every year I have two classes writing energy policy. It's a group project. And it gets a little bit depressing when they first look at it and they see the obstacles that we need to overcome. But every group is able to come up with some way of transitioning to the future that they desire.
And I just want to commend Pat. I mean, this is a curriculum he created, but it really is being used nationwide. He's not a writer by trait, but he has an article published in The Physics Teacher right now, which is sharing this curriculum with classrooms around the nation. So there is this way in which one small idea can have a resonating impact. And I'm proud of you for doing that, Pat.
We are on the cutting edge
exciting,
here.
Sharing an exciting approach.
I think it'll be a lot of fun working with you, Nancy. I think, you know, we want to share with our students the reality of what's going on now, the reality of the difficulties, and let them come up with their solutions.
Yeah. And I just want to chime in, too. We're going to talk about Kathleen Dean Moore because we'll be using her and beautiful anthology, Moral Ground.
We've now slipped into talking, by the way, about the class. I just
well, want
just to let our listeners know, we've been talking about tomorrow night's Ales and Ideas about developing an energy policy in the United States. Now we are, now we're moving into talking about this terrific class, which I think everybody would benefit by taking this class, a class entitled Climate Change. And this is the class that Professor Nancy Cook and Professor Pat Keefe will be teaching together starting in the winter term, January 4th. And not only is it a great thing for all of us to take classes at Classic Community College because it enriches our world and our lives and we learn and we meet new people, it also really helps the college because the more students the college has, the better the financing is for them overall. So I really want to encourage you all to think about taking this class in the winter term. And now we're going to start talking a little bit more about that particular class.
Well, I just wanted to circle around this notion of energy because part of my inspiration for envisioning this class and inviting Pat to teach it with me, it has been the work of OSU professor and writer Kathleen Dean Moore.
One of my heroes. I love her.
She's amazing. She's so committed. She's such a fine writer, but she's also a philosopher by training. And she's a dear personal friend of mine. I've hosted her in Alaska a number of times. And, you know, maybe I should say that as part of my bio. I still spend every summer in Alaska where I run a writing workshop, and it's a place where climate change is very real. I've lived at the toe of a glacier for 25 years for every summer, and for the first 18 years I lived there, the glacier was more or less the same. And in the last 8 years, we are watching that ablation, what's called ablation, just the shrinking recession of that glacier happening so rapidly. It's kind of terrifying because I always thought of glaciers as sort of indifferent to humans. They were bigger than humanity. And now I can see really readily how fast those glaciers are changing. And I spend summers in the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park where I used to be a ranger. And there's just shocking statistics surrounding that because, of course, as Pat will teach us, one of the big subtle impacts of climate change is when you put more fresh water due to melting ice caps and melting temperate glaciers, you put more fresh water into the marine system, and that's part of what wreaks havoc with weather patterns in ways we don't even understand. So I feel like I've witnessed that. You know, I've sat on the banks of rivers and seen them raging to the point where you don't know where you're going to camp in your raft because the Chittenah River's flowing bank to bank because there's so much water because the glaciers are melting so fast. But speaking of rivers, Kathleen Dean Moore, one of my mentors, has this beautiful notion of change and how it happens. And she reminds us about the way rivers change and that the dynamics of a river are a manifestation of energy. And in this beautiful essay that I brought for you today, she discusses how when a river changes direction, it'll be a radical change, but it's a very slow process. It's rock upon rock on a river bar that slowly shifts that oxbow to move to the other side. And she has found a way, while carrying the deep despair of anyone who looks at the suffering that is being created and will be created by climate change, Kathleen has found a way to retain hope. And she reminds us that we don't have to stop the entire river. Can I quote from her just a minute?
Please,
she says, "Our work, the work of every person who loves the world, this world, is to make one small deflection in complacency, a small obstruction to profits, a blockage to business as usual, then another to change the energy of the flood." She calls this the work of creative disruption, the work of radical imagination, the work of witness. And she says, "This is the steadfast, conscientious refusal to let a hell-bent economy force us to row its boat. This is better than stewing at night, to be part of the creative disruption and recognize that we don't have to solve the whole problem, but we need to be a part of the solution and be committed." And one of the most exciting parts of the class that you didn't mention yet is that in these humanities classes, with the interdisciplinary approach, we're going to look at art. We're going to look at some of the art activists that are happening surrounding the Climate 350 project. We're going to look at the whole new body of literature. Literary scholars and writers alike are really thinking about the characters and the approaches we create and how they can shift our relation to nature. We're going to be looking at film. We're actually going to have a whole day where we look at the political cartoons surrounding climate change, which is a fascinating body of work. And so my hope in the class is that we will all feel renewed in that sense that despair doesn't serve us, but we can all be a part of a creative disruption that reimagines our and reinvents our life on the planet.
Thank you. That is well said. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today in the studio, I have Professor Nancy Cook. She is a professor of writing, literature, and humanities at Clatsop Community College. And Pat Keefe. He is a physics professor at Clatsop Community College. Pat is giving a lecture tomorrow night. It's a free lecture, Thursday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. at Fort George. And the topic is, Can Anybody Count Here? Developing an Energy Policy for the United States. That's going to be really fascinating. So hopefully you all can attend that tomorrow night. Those of you who are listening, who are some within this listening audience, somewhere in the Columbia Pacific region. And then there's a wonderful class we've been just talking about recently in this last few moments, which is a humanities class called Climate Change. And it's an interdisciplinary class. It's a special one-time only Clatsop Community College special topics course. And it's being co-taught by Nancy Cook and Pat Keefe, who are here in the studio today. And on the flyer, there is there's a cartoon, and the slide at the top, it says Climate Summit. And at the top, the topics that they're going to talk about are energy independence, preserve the rainforest, sustainability, green jobs, livable cities, renewables, clean water and air, healthy children, et cetera, et cetera. And someone in the audience says, what if it's a big hoax and we create a better world for nothing? So, Pat, we've been hearing from Nancy that she is positive and feels that we are and can make a difference. What do you think about people who deny the fact that this is actually happening, global warming, like you like to say, or climate change? And Nancy has given us firsthand knowledge of she's seen glaciers shrink. So how do you deal with someone who denies that there's any kind of change going on?
Well, I think that's a perfectly reasonable reaction. If you just look at what's out there in the common media on the internet, I think it's so confusing. How can you know? It just seems to be a bunch of people calling each other liars. And there's so much hostility in it. I think my students should just shrug their shoulders and go, who could possibly know what's really going on here? So hopefully in our course, we can really look into that and try and figure out what's going on for sure.
How are the students in today's world? I mean, you've been teaching there for 25 years. How are the students today versus when you first started teaching? And what are their concerns? What are their sensibilities? Tell me how that is.
Well, I think, you know, right off, it's wonderful because they're so good on the computer. So 20 years ago, I was teaching them how to use computers, and now they're teaching me how to use the computer, you know, software, you know, oh, here's a better way to do that. So they're really, you know, they're really technically savvy, but they live in a confusing world where there's so much information in short sound bites that it's hard for them to really dig into a topic, and really investigate it. So this will be a wonderful course where we can really slow down and think about everything.
I feel like our students and our especially younger students are sometimes hesitant to enter controversies, and I believe this is a product of living in, you know, our mediated age of information where there's so much polarized rhetoric, and certainly surrounding climate change, that they get to the point where they don't want to engage in a polarized debate. And so I feel like one of the important parts of having a whole 10 weeks is to, you know, let's unpack this issue, get beyond mainstream media, us versus them, and rhetoric. I mean, let's face it, part of the reason we can have climate change deniers in this day and age is because there's a huge investment in misinformation, I think. I don't want to sound too radical. It says on her poster that denial can be a river in this Egypt, but I think we should also recognize, as Exxon is being asked to own in this day and age through that big court case, that there's been a huge investment in misinformation surrounding climate change. And I think it's important for our students to think critically about that part of it.
And to feel hopeful and to feel that they can make a difference.
Yeah.
And that, and I think you actually have them doing hands-on things,
yeah,
Pat. So that they really, they come up with solutions.
Yeah, well, it's good fun. I also teach a course in meteorology. And in that course, we really look at climate, at models, mathematical models, to look at temperature. And it's good fun for me to have them working with real temperatures, coming up with real mathematical models using Excel spreadsheets to predict what's happening. And then, you know, that does get continued on in other courses about let's find out what your desires are for the future. So instead of me telling students, here's what we should do, they tell me what we should be doing.
Yes, and I think we have some incredibly brilliant young people on the planet today.
We do.
Fortunately.
We
need them. And how do you deal with, Pat, this idea that Nancy had just talked about, too, about this being overwhelmed by information? I mean, and then where are your sources? I mean, I know when my nephews are in school and we'll be debating ideas, and how do we know which sources are the sources that are the ones we think are credible?
Yeah, I think unfortunately we believe what we want to, or we hear what we want to believe. And so that's always a problem. It was just this afternoon a student came to me with an Exxon, we're picking on Exxon, video.
Sorry.
He said, I want you to just listen to this Exxon commercial. And he was very blank-faced. He had his poker face on. And he said, what do you think of this? And so I think he was being really wise and critical thinking. You know, he's saying, you know, this person's saying fracking's not a problem at all. But he did recognize, oh, this is someone from Exxon telling us that Exxon's not doing any harm. And so I was really pleased that he saw it. He wanted me to look at it and kind of agree, but it was nice that he was aware of where is this information coming from.
To have young people think for themselves, to think critically, like you said, Nancy, so important, and to question where is this information coming from and what is the ultimate gain here? I mean, why is this information being put out?
And I think young people especially, they want hope. You know, they disengage from some of these issues because they are so politicized, but underneath, this generation wants, they're hopeful, they want to believe in social change. It's possible. They're super inclusive. I love that. There's this spirit of inclusivity and this, I don't know how, I don't like calling people millennials or post 911 or whatever, but I do feel like there's a lack of judgment. There's an open-mindedness that is exciting, and yet also this reluctance to get into issues.
Polarized issues. Yeah. And so what we're trying to do is, let's say, stop the polarization. Let's start trying to have a holistic view of things, which mm-hmm. is what this class is about. And I know we've been talking about young people, but truly, this is a class
oh, yeah.
I'm excited about. This is a class that would be a great for any age.
You can sign up, Donna?
Yes, absolutely. I am. Actually, I am going to sign up.
And of course, seniors, we already said that.
Yeah, that's right. Seniors have, yes, especially. We need more students at Classic Community College. And what a great way to do it. You can sign up for the climate change.
We didn't say when it is. Class. Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at noon.
Monday, like Wednesdays.
We could call it the
Fridays,
brown bagger.
It's
the
like a lunch.
Brown
yeah,
bagger.
You schedule your lunch. You go up to Classic Community College for lunch during the winter quarter, starting January 4th. And registration's open now for the winter term.
Yep.
Right?
Yes,
people
it
just
is.
Go right to the Classic Community College website
mm-hmm.
and they can register for this. So we just have a few minutes left. And Nancy gave me this wonderful book by Kathleen Dean Moore, Moral Ground, Ethical Action for a Planet in Peril. And I'm not sure we have time to read this. I kind of feel like I want you all to say a bit more before we end the program in a few minutes. But I want us to read this at some point because this is about how we express gratitude to the earth for its gifts. And she talks about writing a song of praise and singing in the streets or thanks before morning coffee. And being grateful for what is working well, which I talk about, of course, at the end of the program, because there are always these things that aren't, is important. And what she's talking about is really being observant, aware, and grateful. And if you love and care for something, just like this wonderful Japanese poet said, the care of the river is not a question of the river, but of the human heart. And I also, Pat, would love to know how you feel about David Suzuki. I was very fortunate to go to a climate change conference that the Dalai Lama arranged last year in Portland. And David Suzuki said that we have built an economy in which we try to fit nature into a man-made economy that we built instead of an economy based on the natural laws of nature, which obviously that's how our planet functions, and that we need to change the economic model. Have you thought about that, and is that what you're working on?
Yeah, I think that's what I challenge students to look at. I mean, I give them a framework and ask them, you know, how can we change things? I mean, I'm not sure that I get that much into nature, but I think the students do pick that up and really come up with, how can I make the world a better place for me to live in?
Yes, and then for everyone. So we just have a couple of minutes left. What else would you like the listening audience to know that perhaps we haven't talked about?
Well, as we think about climate change, whether you take the class or not, I chose Kathleen's book as the centerpiece of this course, in part because she really makes it imperative that we consider climate change not just as a science issue, not just as a political issue, but as a moral, ethical issue. This is a question of social justice. So making these interdisciplinary connections and responding to art, which might be the way we can move the human heart. She tells us and asks us, you know, what will move people to act to save their beloved world? Information and facts alone are not enough. Science is important, but it doesn't provide all the answers. And we, rather than detaching in despair, need to remain committed as a human species. And I hope this class will help people find that hope to remain committed.
I feel like the class is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. There's a lot of debate, I'm sure, that will happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, Pat, any last little thing from you?
Oh, I'm excited to take the class.
And teach it as well. All right, that's excellent. All right, thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. And again, tomorrow night, Ales and Ideas, Fort George, 7 p.m. And then go on to the Classic Community College website and register for the climate change class. And that's a great way to spend lunch starting in January. Thank you so much for listening to this program, which airs each Wednesday morning. And I want to express my gratitude to Kate Brister and also Mike Brunn for his original theme music for this program. And until next week, find a moment for yourself. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things that are going well in your life, and then focus on those and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. I'm running out of time. And for being here in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.